Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, we are so blessed to be in the house of God this morning, and as we prayed this morning, and as I went before the Lord this week, God impressed upon me from the book of Galatians, we're going to be just going over things that we've heard in the past, but things that I really need to bring to your remembrance. That how many believe that we're in a race right now?
Oh, yes.
Amen. And how many believe that it's possible that we are coming to the conclusion of this dispensation?
Yes.
Meaning the age of the church grace.
Yes.
And right now it's been for 2,000 years a time of grace, a time of harvest, a time that that God is bringing in the harvest for over the past 2,000 years. But I truly believe that it's coming to a conclusion. And I just sense in my spirit that God is ready to come for his bride. We are the bride of Christ. Can I get amen?
Amen.
We are the bride of Christ. And so I need you to know that we live in these times. They're perilous. You know, and there's people that will say, well, Pastor Fee, you know, it's been perilous for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Yes, you're right. But let me just say this, that everything that Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24 is all converging at once now. And a couple of weeks ago, I brought a message, a prophetic message regarding the time clock is Israel. Watch Israel. They became a nation in 1948 after scattered for thousands of years. And one of the things that I truly believe that as we prayed this morning, that yes, the war in Ukraine is atrocious. No one wants to see war. No one wants to see buildings destroyed and lives destroyed and kids and women blown up. But there is a other side that maybe we haven't seen, because God said in the last days he would send fishermen and then he would send hunters to fish the Jews out all over the world to bring them back to the land. And so this horrific thing, there's 2 million that has been displaced. Over half of them are Jews. And they were entrenched. They weren't going anywhere until this war broke out. And now they're scattering back to Israel. And many of us who have been to Israel many times, we would see planes that would fly in Ben Gurion. And we would see many Jews coming back to the land, making aliyah. What does aliyah mean? Meaning returning home, coming home. And they would come from all over the world. And they would come in plane loads. And that was in 2006, 2007. One of our earlier trips was 2002. And by the way, I want to thank and praise God for my son that's here from Arkansas. Amen. Anthony. He's got a wonderful company in Arkansas, and it's Onyx Coffee Labs, and he is one of the pillars there. And now there's like five Onyx Lab coffee shops throughout, and the world is ordering coffee beans from them, and it's like they're on the map in the coffee world. You know, there's a whole different world, and it's called the coffee world, and you know, they have competitions, latte art, all this. You know, best tasting coffee, you know, he flies all over the world. A matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago, he was in, I believe, Colombia. And so he's here with us. He's down for a quick little visit, and my daughter Sophia will be flying in tomorrow night.
Hallelujah.
And they're here to just visit and say hello, and just know that God is good. Amen.
Amen.
And so I'm excited about this morning's message because it's going to tie in what God is expecting the saints of God to remember.
Amen.
See, God is good. God is gracious to us. And he's not a taskmaster that would whip us. But we would look into the word of God, which is the law of liberty. And we would see that what is written has application for us today. And it's practical application. You know, God don't expect much from us. I hope you know that. Because he's faithful when we're faithless. And he's able to pick us up and to steer us back on the road of righteousness, of grace, of mercy. And many of us, throughout our Christian walk, we have missed the mark. How many have missed the mark? Oh man, I've done some face plants. Come on, where God had to take his spiritual spatula and scrape me from the ground. Oh, you guys never, it never happened to you, right? You guys are the super saints. No, all of us fall in that, right? So I want your attention right up here. Let me go and change the screen here up there for your understanding. And if you do have your cell phones, put them on the off or silent position, amen. Those of you who have fax machines and all these things, yeah, please turn them off, amen. And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We glorify you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Our Finish Line is Up Ahead.
Hallelujah.
Our finish line is up ahead. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 9 through 10. And I have some biblical principles, some points that we want to cover in this morning's message. And this message is to encourage us. Can I get an amen? How many need to be encouraged every now and then? Amen. I'm here to let you know that what we do for Christ, that's what's going to go into eternity. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So that's what will last throughout eternity, is what we do for Christ. So if you have your Bibles, let's go. And it reads, and let us not grow weary while doing good. Say that with me. While doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let me pause right there. There have been wonderful saints that have started out with us and with many other churches around the country, around the world. They started well, but some of them have lost heart, especially when COVID hit. Man, before COVID, we were what, 70, 80 sometimes? Now a lot of them won't come back. I spoke to my brother at the Rock Church. He's like a personal bodyguard to Miles McPherson. And my brother David says, half the building is just empty. So it's not just what you see here. It's everywhere. Because they're afraid. They've lost heart. Well, I'm here to encourage you. We do not lose heart. Can I get amen?
Yes.
Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. To those who are of the household of faith. We're the household of faith. So we are to entreat one another with love, with care, with grace, with mercy. You see, saints, in this morning's message, we're going to point out 9 characteristics of our labor for the Lord in your Christian walk, in my Christian walk. It is not only a walk of faith, but also of good works that God desires us to live out. It is a labor of victory, of peace, and of joy. Can I get amen?
Amen?
All right, so let's look at our first principle. Our labor for the Lord is a labor of love. I need you to know that. What we do for Christ is because we love God and God loves us. Can I get amen? He loves us. Now, let's go to the Word of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And the Word of God reads this. We give thanks to God always for you all. making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have been elected by God. Here's what I understand through God's grace is before we become saved, we're in our unregenerated state. And so God has to quicken us, make us come alive before we can actually turn to him and repent. How many times, remember, in your BC years, have the word of God, someone came and witnessed and testified, shared a gospel tract, talked to you about Jesus, and you go, oh, yeah, that's okay, that's good for you. I'm glad you found God. Can I get amen? How many, yes, right? And then something happened down the road in our life where God quickened us, and everyone has a story and how we came to Christ. It was a supernatural event where God just quickened you and made you come alive, and now you saw the cross. And when you saw the cross, you ran to the cross and you embraced the cross. We are recipients of God's grace. God has allowed us to embrace the cross, where at one time, the Bible says, we were enemies to the cross. Many of us were enemies. Many of us didn't want nothing to do with God. I looked at them in high school as goody good two shoes. They always hung out by themselves, you know, and you know, you try to jam them up and, you know, they would just won't say a word back to you. I remember one at work, I was working at Western Lumber, and this one smaller than me, and I'm short, Jose Tejeda. This brother went to National City Apostolic Church, and he would always come and share Jesus with me. And one day, I was parked way far from the yard. It was lunch. That was my lunch now. You don't mess with my lunchtime. We only got 30 minutes, so we don't mess with my lunch. But I had the windows all raised up, and it was a Cheech and Chong scene. And I heard on my window, I had to roll down the window and all the contact just went out that way. And after the smoke cleared, there was a little guy giving me a tract. Jesus loves you. Man, the anointing had to have been on that brother. Because I was one of those tough guys at the, you know, during my BC years. I grabbed that track and I threw it down. I said, you ever do that again, I'm going to punch you in the nose. But years later, when I got saved, I ran looking for him. I had a Bible in my hand. And I said, it was because you never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. Everyone else gave up, but you didn't. You had no fear to share this with me. And we both cried. God had already got me out of the lumber industry. I got into real estate at that time. But it was the providence of God that he would put specific people in my life, and he did it in your life. And so the labor of love that he demonstrated is going to go into eternity. Because he had a part in that. He had no fear. Can I get amen? Amen? And he did it because God told him, go, because I have someone that I'm going to raise up. Amen. So look at yourselves as no different than the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus. All of us were knocked off our beast. Can I get amen? We were knocked off our beast. Thank you, God. And he drew us to the cross. Yes. Thank you, God. Saints, all of our works for the Lord should be seasoned with love. Can I get amen? Amen? Why? Because he first loved us. He first loved us. And some of you are saying, well, where does it say that in the word? Right up here. Look at this. In 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You see, he had boldness to come share that with me. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Can I get amen? He first loved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I'm so blessed that he didn't crush me. Hallelujah. Thank you. Listen, you know, back in the day when there was many of us in my family's home, there was 11 brothers. I had 11 brothers and sisters in a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house. Figure that one out. And our grandmother and our parents. And I'm going to put it like this in layman's terms. We were so poor, we couldn't even pay attention. And every now and then, we see one of those little creepy crawlers come, you know, and bam, we would stamp one out, right? How many are so blessed to know that God didn't stamp us out? Well, I'm tired of you. I'm moving on to the next. No, it was God's grace and mercy, right? It's his mercy that we're still here praising him after all these years now. And I'm here to let you know we're coming to the finish line. We're coming in for a close. And so, saints, there is nothing you can do to make God love you more. I hope you know that. If you could think of something, please let me know and I'll add it to the notes right now. There is nothing you can do to make God love you less. His love is unconditional. It's impartial. It's everlasting. It's infinite. And it's what? Perfect. God's love is perfect. Can I get amen? Praise God. Let's go back here on the screen and let's look at this. Number two, our labor in the Lord is a labor not in vain. It's not in vain. So whatever you do for Christ, God takes that as an account to you. And it will be mentioned to you when you see him face to face. Did you know that we're all going to sit at the judgment seat of Christ? Not the white throne judgment, praise God. That's where all the unbelievers and the evildoers and all those who have rejected God's grace their whole life, they will stand before God and give an account to their life. And then after they've been given that account, they will be tossed into the lake of fire where brimstone and the worm dieth not. But for us, the believer, God has had tremendous grace and mercy upon our life. Can I get amen? Amen. So our labor in the Lord is a labor not in vain. And look what it says. Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church right here. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing, here's the key right here. Knowing that your labor is what? Not in vain in the Lord. It could be the most insignificant thing, as I mentioned earlier in prayer today. You know, we're all looking to see, oh, God, I want to do accolades for you. Oh, I want to be this for you. The Bible says to be great in the kingdom of God is to be the servant of all. Amen. Can I get amen? Yes. It's to serve the Lord. And we're not looking for accolades. We're not looking for the pat on the back. Some people, if you don't pat them on the back, they think they've been ostracized or forgotten. No, they haven't. And some of them will leave. Oh, they don't recognize what I'm doing. Yeah, but God just recognized what you should have not done. People are looking for that, you know. And every now and then I'll come to someone, man, you're doing an awesome job. And that's to encourage. We are to encourage one another. I get that. But if no one says anything to you, know that God, hallelujah, is blessed by your servanthood. Can I get amen? That's all that matters at the end of this day, is what you do for Christ. That'll last. And so it's not in vain. I shared this morning in the prayer room. I said, we're looking for the big, you know, the big I's and little U's. I'm sorry, there's none of that in the kingdom of God. So even by picking up the paper towel in the bathroom and throwing it in the trash, God puts that to your account. And no one's looking. But you know what? I'm going to take joy what God has allowed us to be in this building. And I'm gonna honor it. And I'm going to make sure everything's in order for God. Because we do it for the Lord. We're not doing it for ourselves. Can I get amen? So saints, we are to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding. Abounding. Abounding means it's a continual process of serving, loving, praying, edifying, building up, encouraging. How many of you every now and then needs encouragement? Oh, come on. Yes. So two hands went up. Okay. So everyone else is fine. But I want you to catch this in 1 Peter up here. Look at this. In 1 Peter 5, 6 to 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. See, I'd rather have God exalt me than have man exalt me. Because when man exalts you, you will crash and burn. You will run out of all the accolades. And what happened? They quit. And then you go into a pity party, thinking people have left you or abandoned you or no. But if you have the perspective of God that, you know what, I'm doing this for the Lord, not for people. Hallelujah. Then you'll have a different paradigm. You'll have a paradigm change. Thank you, God. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for you. Amen. Give it to God because he cares for you. And then he goes on to say, be sober. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You see, there's a lot of people, like I mentioned, that are not in church anymore, who started out well. The enemy had a part of this. He has devoured them, given them negative thoughts. Oh no, I want to put on 5 masks when I wake up from bed and go to bed with 10 masks on. I went to a doctor's appointment, and there was like 6 people waiting for the elevator to come down. Oh, well, actually, yes, coming down, I was on the 2nd floor. The doors opened up, and there was a senior citizen in there. And she said, no one step in here. And she kept hitting the door. She was so paranoid. She didn't want anyone close to her. You see, this is what has happened with the disciples of Fauci. These are Fauci's disciples. And they're walking with paranoia. They're paranoid. They're not trusting God no more. Hey, sometimes we just got to trust God. How many know that we have to trust God? It's amazing. It's amazing. Look at this. This is the key to deal with old Slewfoot. How many know when Slewfoot is boxing with you? When he comes to your mind, when he tries to attack your physical body, he's a real devil. Some people go, "Oh man, he's just a figment of your imagination." Really? Then why does he have to be tossed into the lake of fire when it's all over? Look at this. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Have your faith in Christ, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So not only you are going through, but your brothers in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while. Many of us have suffered a while. Can I get an amen? Some of us are still suffering certain things. You know, I've heard it said like this. You know, people that were in the world when they were doping it up and their livers, you know, become, Yes, cirrhosis of the liver. They get saved, but guess what? That condition, that physical condition, comes into sometimes in your saved life. And so you're reaping what you've sown. And if God doesn't supernaturally touch and it's time that it expires, it will expire. And there's no one to blame other than if your hope's in Christ, then God will take you home and deliver you from the body of flesh that's corrupt. We live in this body that's corrupt. Can I get an amen? And so resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. This is what God will do. And then to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God will settle us. Listen, we're never going to become perfect in this flesh. I hope you know that. But we strive for perfection. If we don't put time in prayer and studying God's word, well, guess what? You're not going to know the things that God is showing us in the generation that we live in right now. Be steadfast in him. Want to know more. Dive in. You know, when we did that ceremony a couple of weeks ago for my brother, I was impressed. I was so blessed to see there was 14 men, 15 with my brother, that said, you know what? We want to make a proclamation, a resolution, that their friends and family members can see that they're taking their walk with Christ seriously. Hallelujah. That they're going to love their wife, love their children, serve their community, be faithful, be committed. Thank you, Lord. To love their children, their grandchildren. Yes. This resolution is so awesome, and it's missing right now, even in the church today. Did you know that there's more? Well, actually, there was a survey taken by Family, James Dotson, family of, Focus on the Family, yes, Dr. James Dotson. He had a survey that now, in the time that we live in, there's the same divorce rate in the church, and it's equal to the world now. Man, yeah, I want a new thing. This one is just not working for me no more. They'll find ways. And it has a lot to do with the culture. When you're watching all these ungodly programs that are enticing your flesh, well, gosh, you're right. I deserve better. Yeah, this one disappoints me now. And the devil will come in like a lying thug and convince you that this is the best thing to do. And guess what? You're going to give an account. If you're watching right now, you're going to give an account to God. Because everything can be worked out. Everything. And you know what it starts? It starts with me. It starts with me. That I would learn to die to self, learn to forgive, learn to say, oh God, maybe it's me. Can I get an amen? Maybe it's me. But we like to do this. And when we do this, there's three back pointing right back at you. Help us, Lord, in the day that we live in. Can I get an amen? Let's go to our third principle. Our labor in the Lord is a labor known by Christ. It's a labor known by Christ. So if he takes recognition and he looks down on our life here on this earth, watching every move, you know he's omni what?
Present.
He's omnipresent. He watches everything we do. I hope you know that.
That's right.
It's not in vain. Look what it says in the book of Revelation right here. Revelation 2:1-6. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. That should be us, right? And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Be careful. Oh, there's an outreach over here. An apostle so-and-so is showing up. Really? Really? An apostle? Some of them download a certificate from the internet. I'm an apostle now. My goodness, watch out. Because Jesus said there will be false prophets in the time that we live in that will deceive you. Can I get an amen? I'm not ashamed to say that up here because we don't allow apostle so-and-so to come up. Wow. Jesus came down there and appointed you? All right, 12, move aside. We got another one. Look at number 3 here. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Here's the key. Repent. Remember we talked about repent a couple of weeks ago? Repent and do your first works, or else I'll come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. As I just mentioned, those who are trading each other in like playing cards, those who are still out in the world, have one foot in the world and have one foot in the church, those who are in the club still and then come on Sunday morning and sing the hymns, something ain't right. Something ain't right. What happened to holiness? Jesus said that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We are to live a sanctified life. I know this is a straight and narrow message, but we're living in the times where I believe we're coming to a finish line, and this is the time to get right or get left.
That's right.
We need to be reminded. Sometimes we just, this flesh needs to be reminded. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I know, man. Yeah, preacher, that's good. That's good for you. Praise God. Saints, God knows all about what we go through. How many believe that? And he never gives us more than we can bear. Oh, that's right. Look what it says right here in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No, say that with me. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But say this with me. God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the same temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Hallelujah. This is why for the drunkard. There's hope for the ones that divorce like playing cards. There's hope for those who are stuck in drugs and alcohol. There's hope for the liars and the whoremongers. Can I get amen? There's hope for them. All they need to do is repent and come back to God and say, oh God, forgive me for I have sinned. And this is where God will get a hold of them. Hallelujah. And do a refinery in their heart. Sometimes we need the fire to come down. Hallelujah. To wash away all the dross that we pick up along this walk with Christ. We need to walk in his way. We got to remember what he has saved us from. When we look back to look ahead, he saved us from a miry clay. We were stuck in a mud pen. Can I get amen? We were lost without a cause. We could never forget what he has saved us from. And then the glory that he's about to reveal to us is just right ahead of us. This is why don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. Oh, yeah. That's good for you, but, you know, I still got things I need to accomplish here. I still need to climb the corporate ladder. You know, and I'm dating this new thing, and I want to get to know that person now. And, oh, yeah, we find excuses. Hey, you got to say, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's go to number 4. Our labor in the Lord is a labor God does not forget. See, we forget a lot of things, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, we do. Here's the litmus test. At 3:45 yesterday afternoon, what were you doing? We already forgot, didn't we? Okay, what about 3:26? Listen, we forget. We're creatures that forget. We need to be reminded. This is why we should never refute. We should never reject to be in church on Sunday, because for some of us, it's only one time a week. And then some of you go, man, he's gone a little too long. Thank God I'm not crowding your Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But look what it says here in Hebrews. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name. Can I get an amen? He doesn't forget. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. When's the last time you called your brother or your sister in Christ and encouraged them? When's the last time you told your coworker, hey, you know what? God just put on my heart to share Christ with you. Maybe you never heard, you know, of Christ, but, you know, I'm a believer, and I want to see you in heaven too. Be bold. Oh, but no, we shy away from that. Oh, what are they going to say? Who cares what they're going to say? It doesn't matter. Because we're going to see God face to face, and God will remind us, hey, I put so-and-so in your path. Why didn't you share me? Why didn't you tell them about the love of God? Why didn't you tell them about me who died for their sin? The last person we want to see get dropped into the fiery pit is someone that we walked right by and never got a chance to share the love of God. Now, I'm not asking you to be a worldwide evangelist, but guess where Judea and Samaria, guess where all those places are? You know. It says when they got filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and then you find it in, I believe, in Acts chapter 2, verse 8. And then he says, go to Samaria and to Jerusalem and all these places. Well, guess what? Our Samaria is our next door neighbor. When's the last time you told your neighbor about Christ or walked down another block and told the whole block? Hey, did you know that Jesus is coming? Are you ready? No, but we're on the CPAC mode. We're sleeping away. See, God keeps perfect records of our service unto him. How many believe that? And we must continue to do good works toward others. Look what it says right here in Hebrews 13, 15. I love this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise of God. That is what? The fruit of our lips. Giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. You want to please God? Then do the things he's called us to do. In the time that we live in right now, there should not be an empty seat in any church. Because if one shares and brings one, then that you tell that one to bring another one, and the next thing you know, man, people are there. Because, you know, there are people that are hungry that just no one told them or reminded them again. Especially after this COVID. But do not forget to do good and to share, for which such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. So this is what Yolanda and I do. We pray, we intercede for the saints. We're praying for your success, that you would walk worthy of Christ, that God would bless you physically, financially, that God will do supernatural encounters with people, that God would open up a door, that you would share Christ with them, that you would not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to us Gentiles. Obey those who have rule over you. Be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. So in other words, when you're sharing the gospel, don't look like you just drank prune juice. You know that Jesus loves you. I had to share that with you. Yeah. You should do it with great joy and the anointing of God. Can I get an amen? We have an opportunity to share Christ. Thank you, God. For that would be what? Unprofitable for you if you do it out of a grievance. Wow. Number five. Our labor in the Lord is a labor which is to be done together. It needs to be done with all of us. Can I get amen? It needs to be done corporately. Can I get amen? With all of us. All of it. Listen, there's no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. Did you know that even the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist, they're no bigger than us. The Bible says we're all equal at the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. We're all equal at the cross. We do this corporately as a body, the body of Christ, to love, to share, to give, to bless. Why? Why is that? Because Paul laid it out right here. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and you are God's building. See, we are the building. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can I get amen? So when God fills us with his being, when we're filled with the Spirit of God, now he's empowered us. We're encased now, the Spirit of God, to go do these good works. We can't do them in the flesh. We can't do them without his grace, without being regenerated. It's fruitless. We'll suffer burnout. We can only follow instructions for a while, and then we find burnout. Why? Because we have no power living within us. You need God's power. Saints, we pick up our cross. How many believe you pick up your cross daily and you follow him? Yes. Well, this is what Dr. Luke wrote down right up here. Then he said to them all in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily, not weekly, but daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So just remember this. When you're sharing, when you're doing the things of God, you're learning to die to self and you're learning to die to the things of God. And that's when you find true joy and peace, when you're watching God do the miraculous in someone's life. Amen. I remember when I attended my very first church at North Park Apostolic Church. I used to just share wherever I went. I wanted to see them become born again, to get baptized according to the scripture. And I would just bring them there, and I would just sit there next to the baptismal pool, and I would have this great joy I couldn't comprehend. And I would watch God just do the miraculous. All I did was share, and they came. This is what we all need to do, is share and have them come. Can I get amen? And expect God's going to do something miraculous in their life. Expect God is going to regenerate them. And then God will allow them to walk in the ways of God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? We're blessed. So Jesus said it perfectly. He said, My yoke is easy. How many believe that God's yoke is light? Aren't you glad he's not a taskmaster? See, the devil was our taskmaster. Oh, you need to go re-up. Oh, some of you remember that term? You need to go re-up, man, because they're running out. You need to go re-up. Okay, you don't know what that means. But look what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Can't we understand it? Can we get that? Can we come to a place where serving the Lord is not a task, but a joy? And an opportunity and a privilege that God would allow us. Thank you, God. That God would allow us. Thank you, Lord. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go right here. Number six. Praise God. Our labor in the Lord is a labor for eternal things. Eternal things. See, when you speak of eternal things, sometimes we only see that as far as the eye can see. As far as the eye can see. We don't have a perspective of eternity because sometimes it's just too far to see. But yet, this is what we're living for now as believers, that eternity is spending our rest of our being with God forevermore. The God of eternal will come and transform us into the likeness of his Son, and then we will be translated into the new glorious body to be with him eternally. We can't fathom that yet. We know the Word of God says that's what's going to happen. But look what God says in his Word. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom God has given us. We want to, what? Present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. This is the New Living Translation that Paul wrote to the Colossian church. We need the same application in our life, no differently. The Word of God doesn't change. God says, I change not. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he doesn't change. Can I get an amen? We will reign with him forevermore. And how many can't wait for that day? Amen. Listen, as I got older, I struggle now with autoimmune diseases. And, you know, the body's failing me. I'm not going to live forever in this body. We know that. You know that, right? Yes. So our hope is to be with him. And in Revelation 26, look what it says. Blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. That's when he comes from the church. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord forevermore. Therefore, comfort your hearts. We're going to be part of that first resurrection. And it says, blessed and holy is he who has part of the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. What is the second death? Those who are unregenerated. Remember we talked about those who will stand in the judgment seat of Christ? There's no power in that. And they're going to be doomed. But they shall be priests of God in Christ and shall reign with them 1,000 years. See, we can't even grasp. We're going to reign and rule with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. That's so far ahead, or just like, I don't think about that every day. Well, we need to start thinking about that every day because it's going to happen. And it's going to happen fast. And we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. And we're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Just imagine 1,000 years on this earth without any evil. No murder. No sins of the flesh. We're going to rule and reign with him in righteousness. Well, there's not going to be an evil thought that would tempt us ever again. And we will be like him. I know that's hard to comprehend. But it's true. God's word is true. I just read that. If you don't believe, there's some amillennialists that believe, well, Revelation has already came to pass. Really? So when did you spend 1,000 years with him in peace and love and a brand new body? Because it hasn't happened yet, right? But it's going to. So you're going to get all these weird theologians. These weird theologians. Well, we're all millennials over here, and we believe Revelation has already all been completed. Really? And so society is getting better, right? So society's going to get to a point where we're going to usher in God, because our sinfulness is so under control that we're going to just invite them in. Wow. He's coming when it's chaotic. He's coming to save our bacon. How many believe that?
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. We're coming in for a close. I know. You know, thank God there's no more hometown buffet. Oh, that's right. There's Golden Corral now. Look at this. Our labor in the Lord is a labor which is to be rewarded. It's to be rewarded. How many believe that God's going to reward you for your labor of love? Huh? How many of you truly believe you're going to be rewarded in your labor of love? Listen, God knows we're not doing this in vain for ourselves. We're doing it for the Lord. And then he's going to reward us well. That's right. Look at this right here. It says, now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. And one of the rewards is a crown of righteousness. God will put a crown of righteousness on you. And just saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. How many want to hear that? I do. I want to hear that. Now, look at this. This is why there should be an incentive. How many love incentives? Huh? You know, back in the day, I remember the first multi-marketing scheme was Nutrisystem. Remember Nutrisystem? And then there was another big one. I forget. No, there was another one before that. They sold. Yes, thank you, Amwell. That was the very for Amwell, yeah. Whoa. And there was incentives. If you sold so many, you know, you'll get so many points, and we'll send you to Hawaii.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. You know, they took that from me, because I was a solicitor for the Union Tribune at the age of 12. And I used to say, I wasn't saved now at 12 years old. I used to try to get subscriptions for the San Diego Union. I went door to door. And I knock on the door, and some lady would open up. Hi, my name is Fee from the San Diego Union Tribune. How would you like to take the paper for 1 month? Guess what? If you are going to be the 30th one today, and I'll get to go to Hawaii. Making up lies. But there was an incentive that if I got the most subscriptions that day, I'd be taken to lunch by our crew manager. We were crew number 7. Yes, and right after school, the van would pick us all up. And then we would go all over the county for about an hour and a half in certain neighborhoods, going door to door. And I would average 15 subscriptions a night. Some would come in, sorry, Ben, I only got 3. Some would bring in 5. But I always had that desire to get the most. Well, let me give you some good news in the Word of God. Because there's some that will be on fire for God, and they will be on fire and they'll be serving with their whole heart, and great rewards will come. And then some will go, yeah, you know, I've done this and I've done that, and that's okay. See, God is not going to put so much on that you can't handle. We just read that, right?
That's right.
But if you desire to do more, he will provide ways for you to do more. Can I get an amen? Yes, he will. It's all about desiring the things of God. So look at this. This will clear it up. This is why I had to talk about that multi-level marketing. Well, guess what? That wasn't originated by man. God originated that. It's right here in the Word. Now look at this. Now if anyone builds on this foundation, which is the Word of God, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For that day, capital D, that is the day of the Lord, because it will be revealed by fire. Everything that we do for God is going to go through the fire. Meaning, whether you did it with the right heart or with the wrong heart. I'm preaching to them because those are some ugly sinners over there. Yet the gospel is preached. But the motive was totally wrong. Instead of coming and saying, oh man, God loves you, you know, and you know. Okay, we get that. Each one's work will become clear, for that day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. Of that sort it is. So whatever God has given you to do, it's going to go through the fire. So are you doing it with a good heart? Are you doing it so that you want to be seen by man? Are you doing it because, well, I got nothing else to do, and this is what I'm going to do. Look at this. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now, if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. Now, look at this. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so through the fire. Real quickly, and we're coming for a close. How many love those little joke stories? Okay, so the rapture took place, and everyone's at the gates, and they've come in, and now everyone's gonna go before the judgment seat of Christ. So everyone's in line waiting for their turn, for their rewards. Okay, so there's a lady, a little old lady, and God has given her mansions. God is blessing her, just given her all these riches in heaven. And so the guy that's next in line, he turns around to the people in line and says, man, I don't know what she's done, but man, what I did, I can imagine what God's going to do for me. Because I did so much. I did so much. So after she was rewarded with all these beautiful things that only you had to be in heaven to see and adore, it was his turn. He came up. And God looked at him and said, there you go. He said, what's this? He said, it's a 10 speed. A 10 speed. He goes, yeah. But you didn't have to get cast into the lake of fire. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So the next day, on the corner of Hallelujah and Grace Street, people were going by. This guy who was on his 10 speed. And they said, hey, you look happy now. Are you glad that you got that gift? He goes, I am so happy. He goes, see that guy right there? He's on a skateboard. He goes, that was my pastor. Oh, you just, oh. See, it's about perspective. It's about your call. It's about, are you doing it wholeheartedly for the Lord, or is there something in it for you? The only thing that should be in it for you is knowing that after it's all said and done, that whatever the Lord has for me, I'm going to say yes and amen, Lord. I'm going to say yes and amen, Lord. Praise God. We're blessed. How many believe that we are a blessed people? Huh? We're a blessed people, aren't we? We are a blessed people. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So I need you to look at this real quickly. Those who love little do little. And those who do little enjoy less. You catch that? Those who love little do little. Not Dr. Doolittle. And those who do little enjoy less. Wow. Look what it says here. Paul wrote this. Our labor in the Lord is a labor done to be accepted by what? Him. Aren't you so blessed about that? Praise God. Oh, I want to go back to a scripture that I missed right up here. Look at this. If anyone's work is burned, it will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. That's where I wanted to get to. Okay, we're still going to be saved. How many so thankful for that? Amen. And some of us, we're coming in with the smoke on our tail. Yes. Paul said it best. Paul said, I'm a chief sinner. But he made it through. Praise God. Now, our labor in the Lord is a labor done to be accepted by him. We only got one more point after this. Can you hang in there?
Yes.
Don't worry. Sister Catherine's cake is in the fridge. Thank you, God. Look what Jesus wrote right here. Look at this. Oh, wait, therefore, let's read this right here. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. Can we agree with that? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Praise God. So God's going to sift it all out. Whatever the agenda was, whatever your mindset was, your whole Christian life, he's going to meet it all out. And then wherever the cards lay, let it lay. Amen. But praise God, we'll be saved. Amen. Amen. So, saints, we should always strive to do his will and work out those things that God has allowed us and accept the things that God has given us. And so, number 9, our labor in the Lord is a labor which doesn't have an end until we see him face to face. How many want to see him face to face? So this is what Jesus said 2,000 years ago, and it applies today. And here's where the clock is running out now. He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Into his harvest. Whose harvest? The Lord's harvest. Saints, our work will be done. Listen, our work will not be done until the last day. We must keep preaching, teaching, witnessing, living for the word of God to bless all nations. And when we say nations, I know none of us are going to fly to another nation and preach. But nations, when you take the Greek connotation, is ethnicity. We in San Diego here live, or California, is a melting pot. There's all ethnics here, right? We're to preach to everybody. Everybody. Tell them all about Christ. The harvest is great, but workers are few. This makes us very important. You know, you're very important to God. We need to pray that God will send forth more workers. How many believe that? More workers. Praise God. Saints, why did he say pray that the workers would go forth into the harvest? Why did he say that? Why did he say that? He said it best. I believe when we pray that God will send out workers, that this gives God an opportunity to speak to the hearts of men and women. Hallelujah. Look what the prophet Isaiah said, and we're coming in for a close. He said, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. How many of you can honestly say that God has sent you?
Amen.
Okay, two. God has sent us. That's right. That's right. And so I close with this scripture found in 1 Thessalonians. Now may the God of peace, say that with me, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is what? Faithful. Who also will do it. And then Paul says, brethren, praying for us. We need prayer. How many believe we need prayer? We need prayer. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to ask Brother Andre to come up and just play something. Amen. We serve a mighty God. I hope you know that. How many believe we serve a mighty God?
Amen.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we talked about rewards. Was it last week we had our healing rooms? Even though there was a handful that showed up, your labor was not in vain. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So I want us to remember next month in April, we're going to change our time to 10.
Amen.
So that we don't intertwine with the healing rooms. But I'm excited for those who came out this morning and those who couldn't make it. How many believe we serve a mighty God? Is he worthy to be praised? Did you receive something from this message? Because we do need to be reminded that Jesus is coming soon. We see the writing on the wall. We see everything now converging. And those who have logged on, YouTube and Facebook, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know that God loves you, that he went to the cross for you, and he has sent us to speak to you, that you would have an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. And if you've never given your heart, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that God would do something miraculously in your heart by faith. So bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you, God, that I have sinned. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. In Christ Jesus, and from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Is he worthy? Come on, God is worthy to be praised, amen. And so, I want...
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.